Morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the house. It's a special day, isn't it? Just want to welcome everyone, the regulars, and especially the new people. Want to welcome also Alance's parents back. So let's welcome them. And I think we've got Yoko's cousin as well. Welcome. And anyone else who I don't know but you're new, please welcome, and welcome to anyone who's watching online. You know, motherhood is a wonderful gift from the Lord. It's a ministry. It's rewarding, it's challenging. It can make you laugh, cry, scream, all in the same hour. It causes you to look at yourself and look at your relationships with your own parents. It's quite the adventure. If I had to do it all over again, I would definitely do it. And I'm sure a lot of mothers would say the same thing. You know, beliefs are powerful. They determine what you take in and run with. One of my beliefs is that children are sent. They're sent from God. And when they speak, you have to listen. And you have to listen carefully. You know, the Bible says, out of the mouths of babes, he has ordained praise. So if you're looking for a word to run with this morning, run with this. Sometime last year, I was taking my daughter to daycare. And while driving, she said these three things, one after the other. She says, do not give up on your dreams. Then she said, keep using your imagination. And then she said, you are special. I couldn't stop the car. I said, what did you say? She said, do not give up on your dreams. Keep using your imagination. You are special. And that's my word to you this morning. If you need to leave, you can leave now. However, sometimes I wonder about children being sent. Like days when you hear, Mom, you're getting a little old. And that's when I tripped trying to get into the car. Still my four-year-old. You know you're getting old when you start going to Google to understand your children, especially your teenagers. So one of my daughters wanted me to watch a TV show with her. And I said to her, I would love to, but I can't. I'm busy. I've got a lot to do. That would be irresponsible of me to do that. And she said to me, be irresponsible. Hashtag YOLO. And I said, hashtag YOLO, what does that mean? She said, you only live once. I was like, okay. So there's some truth to that. However, if you're going to note that you only live once, I would suggest that you live God's version for your life and not your own. In Genesis 1, verse 27 to 28, and I'm reading from the NIV, we get a glimpse of what that might look like, God's version of your life. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase. Other versions say, be fruitful and multiply in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Be fruitful and increase. A woman was created with a womb that gave her capacity to carry seed for a specific period of time after which she would produce the fruit of that season, the baby. The principle here was not just about women and babies, although that's part of it. Rather, about capacity to carry seed that would produce fruit and then the ability to repeat the process, to reproduce, to do more and more, recreate, multiply. As God's creation, male or female, we have been released with a blessing to go ahead and be fruitful and go beyond that and multiply. Despite this blessing of God on humanity, many of us live unfulfilled lives, full of doubts, insecurities about what we have in our hand, what we are meant to do with it, and how we are to do it. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Not at Capacity. I just want to pray. Father, I just pray for this word, that as we listen to this, that our hearts would be open to what it is you want us to hear, Lord. Give us ears to hear and a heart to perceive what you are saying. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My main scripture today is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. There's our olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Just to give a summary of the text, here we meet a grieving widow, a woman whose husband was known for his faith and leadership as he was part of the company of prophets. Typically, prophets were messengers of God, ones who had dreams and visions, ones who prophesied. They understood strategic warfare. They could intercede. They anointed leaders. They implemented divine strategies. This family was a household of faith, like you and I. She was a mother to two boys. Suddenly, with the death of her husband, trouble comes her way. She's facing a family crisis as creditors are demanding that they be paid, or they're taking her sons, the fruit of her womb, the gift of God that made her a mother, the only reminders and connection she had to her late husband. She's under threat. There is a risk of all things falling apart, family breaking down, more loss. Not just one other person she could lose, but two, her sons, in a very short space of time after the death of her husband. Most of us have never been at risk of losing our children to slavery. But there are some people who have faced losing their children to the government, to war. Some have risked losing their children to other external factors beyond their control, like drugs, sex trafficking. You may not relate to the loss of children, but you may have experienced being under threat, financial threat, the tax office being on your case, your home being under threat, possibility of being bankrupt, something that defines your life and livelihood being under threat, crisis point. And so there's some key points I want to extract from this passage that I've just read. Please note that like most of us, the widow's first response was to highlight her limitations. When she was asked what she had, your servant has nothing there at all. Thankfully, something clicked not too long after that, that there indeed was something in her possession. Even then, she makes the mistake that a lot of us make, which is to measure value of what we have according to its size. and not the value that it can bring or add to others. She says, except for a small jar of olive oil. It was small, but it was of great value. You see, olive oil was used for trade. It was used for making perfumes, religious offerings, to remedy stomach upsets. There were many uses for olive oil. I wonder for you, what is that small thing of value? Is it your ability to cook? Is it your ability to sing? Your ability to listen? Is it your ability to connect people? Is it your ability to be joyful? Is it your ability to be a peacemaker, a problem solver? Are you good with kids? Are you good with the elderly? What is it that is in your house? The widow held a small jar of oil in her hand, and this was the seed of faith that God would use to cause a miracle. And ever, whatever that small thing is that came through your mind when I asked what that thing is for you, that is what God will use to cause a miracle for you. Seeds of faith are how we will get stretched. One thing that stood out about this woman was that she was a woman of faith. A woman who would ultimately stretch her faith. Elijah, the prophet, was the middleman between this woman and her miracle. But she had a role to play, just like you and I. We have a role to play. She had to trust the man of God. She also had to be obedient and follow the instructions that he was giving. I imagined her knocking on doors and being asked by her neighbors, how many do you need? Why do you need them? What size do you need? And her saying, I'm not sure. I just need some jars. For a day or two, maybe a week, she didn't know. She had to act in faith. She had to be willing to look like a fool, to look ridiculous, to be misunderstood, to risk being criticized, being judged, being mocked. Her husband was part of the company of prophets. So people could possibly say, isn't this the prophet's wife? She has gone mad, asking for jars of all sizes. It takes faith to overlook all of that. In God's supernatural system, fruit is produced in a season they're not supposed to be produced in. That is what we call a miracle. This woman knew what season she was in. She was in a winter season. Things were dry. I wonder if anyone is in a winter season right now. She was grieving her husband. She was fearful of losing her sons. And yet, she had an understanding that there is a God who could do the impossible. That God could override the season. That God could step into her situation. She had to believe. What you believe determines your faith moves. Our belief is determined by our level of desperation. And that's determined by our level of hunger. How hungry are you? Because your hunger will determine how desperate you are. I want to state the obvious, but a key point. Her jar had oil. The empty jars, let me find an empty jar. The empty jars had nothing. Hers had oil. So even though on the surface it looked like hers was a pathetic situation of the helpless, grieving, and desperate widow with a small jar, her jar had oil. I want to say to you this morning, your jar has oil. It doesn't matter how small it is. There is something that you have. You have oil. Elisha was there to show her that hers was not an empty jar and that hers would be the one that would fill the others. If only she would believe. If only she would trust and obey the word spoken. Beliefs are powerful. They determine what you take in and run with. So as she believed, trusted, and obeyed the word spoken by the prophet Elisha, she went to the neighbors. The reality is this. We can't just rely on the one small jar we have. That's just the seed. Whatever it is you have, that's just the seed. We need other people's empty jars of all sizes. The widow would have been given jars of all sizes, all sizes. But she had to stretch herself by asking. I wonder when was the last time you stretched yourself by asking? A lot of us are stopped by fear. We have an idea. We want to run with it, but then we stop ourselves because fear kicks in, and so we don't ask. We must partner and collaborate with those in our circle, those in our industry. Whatever God has given you to grow, what you carry is merely the seed that will ultimately produce fruit. However, to take it to that next level of growth, partnership and collaboration is what will cause you to experience increased capacity and multiplication. Be fruitful and multiply. Until then, we are not at capacity. The second part of verse 5 says, they brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. She was instructed to pour, and that's what she was doing. I believe the word to run with is that as those who have been blessed to be fruitful and multiply, we are instructed to pour into various spaces. We are instructed to pour into various environments, various industries, various fields, various individuals. You are instructed to pour into someone. The people who are in your circle are not there by accident. The people who are in your family are not there by accident. We are instructed to pour into communities, to pour into, and not ignore or neglect. She was to pour into all the jars that were brought to her and not leave any unattended. What or who has been brought your way and has not been poured into? Because of the limitations you see within yourself. We just had the women's event on Friday night, and it was wonderful. We had Pastor Lisa Whittle from C3 Langford, and she spoke about how sometimes we can be merged with our past, with our insecurities, with our doubts, so much that those things stop us from emerging. You know, the theme for this year is for us to emerge. But if you are merged to your past and to your insecurities, you're not going anywhere. This widow was to put, it said she should put, as she poured the oil, she was to put it aside carefully. Every jar that she poured into, she had to put it aside carefully. Then attend to the others. There is something about being careful with what we have been given to pour into. Not to lose it. Not to spill it. While at the same time focusing on the next thing that God is bringing our way. That speaks of good stewardship. It speaks of accountability. God requires us to handle with care the things he brings our way. The widow became so focused on what she was doing and pouring in the jars that when the jars were full, She said, bring me another one. Another one. She didn't even notice. She was on a roll. She didn't even notice that there wasn't another one. Are we asking God for another that we can pour into? Have you been pouring into something so much that there is nothing left? And so you're ready to ask for another. All of us have a legacy we will leave behind. Maybe of fear, of grief, and unfulfilled dreams. Like how the widow was when she first encountered Elisha. Or we can leave a different legacy where we pour into the future. Like how the widow was when she was willing to look ridiculous to get freedom for her sons, her fruit. The ones who had nothing to give. The ones who had no way of rescuing themselves from the creditors. The ones who would be enslaved if she had not made that faith move. A key point is this. Do not underestimate the power and importance of asking for another one and making those faith moves. Moves that are going to set people free. Moves that are going to encourage someone, release someone, teach someone, motivate someone, champion someone to emerge into what God has called them to. Because until then, both you and I are not at capacity. You know, the oil did not stop flowing because it was no longer available. Because we have a limitless God. The oil stopped because there was nowhere else to place it. Nowhere to invest it. Nowhere to pour it into. Key point. Whether she had gathered 5, 20, or 500 jars to that capacity with the miracle of the oil flow. And to that capacity would she receive value. 20 jars would get her 20 jars worth of value. 500 would get 500 jars worth. The prophet never told her how many jars. So she had to decide when enough was enough. You and I have to decide when enough is enough in terms of asking. Our job is to gather the containers so the oil can flow. If it seems like things are dry and the oil has stopped flowing for you, it might just be worth praying to God and asking about what you have allowed capacity for. Ask Him what is blocking that. What are the fears? What are the insecurities? I'll get you to just stand up. I believe that the word here is be fruitful and multiply. And so I just want to pray. If this is really relevant to you, please come to the front as I say it. Otherwise, I'm just going to pray at the end for the whole church. I just want to pray for people to see the small and valuable things that they possess. Because some of us can't see it. Some of us say things like, I don't know what gifts I have. I don't know what God has given me. I'm clueless. I'm confused. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I want to pray against spillage, wastage, lack, stagnation. Because for some of us, that's where we are. And then I want to pray for increased capacity to pour into another. He is a limitless God, and I really believe, I feel strongly, what God is saying to us is He wants you to open yourself up to pour into more. But in order to do that, you have to ask Him for another. You have to ask Him to send you whatever He wants to send you. He will use the gifts He's given you to fulfill that. So I'm just going to pray. But please feel free to come to the front if there's anything in particular. I just ask that we pray together. So what I'll do is I'll just pray for the whole church, and then I'll go and pray for these individuals after. Father, we just thank you that you're a faithful God. I pray, Father, for every single person in this room that we would understand the small and valuable things that we possess, our gifts, our skills, our experiences, that, Father, we would not see those things through our own eyes and the value that we attach, but instead we would see those things according to the value that those things will add to other people. I pray against lack, stagnation, anyone who feels like there's no growth, things are dry, the oil is dry, the oil is nowhere to be found. Lord, I pray that that be broken in Jesus' name, because that we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you came that we may have life. And so, Lord, I also pray for increased capacity, that for all of us here, Lord, that we would come to you and say, another one, another one. I pray that, Lord, you would send people to us, that you would send assignments to us, because we are the people of God who walk the earth like giants. We have the capacity. We are not at capacity. We are in a position to ask for another one. Anything, Lord, that is blocking people from doing that, I break it in the name of Jesus. Any strongholds, we pull them down in the name of Jesus, because victory belongs to Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray even this week that you would whisper into the hearts of your men and women and children, another one, another one, because there is a legacy we are to leave behind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.